consists of such things. What you are asking about, my dear Lucilius, belongs to another topic of the same subject, and that is why I had postponed the arguments, not only on this one topic, but on other topics which also covered the same ground. For, as you know, certain logical questions are mingled with ethical ones. Accordingly, I handled the essential part of my subject, which has to do with conduct, as to whether it is foolish and useless to be concerned with what lies beyond our last day, or whether our goods die with us, and there is nothing left of him who is no more, or whether any profit can be attained or attempted beforehand out of that which, when it comes, we shall not be capable of feeling. All these things have a view to conduct, and therefore they have been inserted under the proper topic. But the remarks of dialecticians, in opposition to this idea, had to be sifted out and were accordingly laid aside. Now that you demand an answer to them all, I shall examine all their statements and then refute them singly. Unless, however, I make a preliminary remark, it will be impossible to understand my rebuttals. And what is that preliminary remark? Simply this. There are certain continuous bodies, such as a man. There are certain composite bodies, as ships, houses, and everything which is the result of joining separate parts into one sum total. There are certain others made up of things that are distinct, each member remaining separate, like an army, a populace, or a senate. For the persons who go to make up such bodies are united by virtue of law or function. But by their nature, they are distinct and individual. Well, what further prefatory remarks do I still wish to make? Simply this. We believe that nothing is a good if it be composed of things that are distinct. For a single good should be checked and controlled by a single soul, and the essential quality of each single good should be single. This can be proved of itself whenever you desire. In the meanwhile, however, it had to be laid aside, because our own weapons are being hurled at us. Opponents speak thus. You say, do you, that no good can be made up of things that are distinct? Yet this renown, of which you speak, is simply the favorable opinion of good men. For just as reputation does not consist of one person's remarks, and as ill repute does not consist of one person's disapproval, so renown does not mean that we have merely pleased one good person. In order to constitute renown, the agreement of many distinguished and praiseworthy men is necessary. But this results from the decision of a number, in other words, of persons who are distinct. Therefore, it is not a good. You say again that renown is the praise rendered to a good man by good men. Praise means speech, Now, speech is utterance with a particular meaning. And utterance, even from the lips of good men, is not a good in itself. For any act of a good man is not necessarily a good. He shouts his applause and hisses his disapproval, but one does not call the shouting or the hissing good, although his entire conduct may be admired and praised, any more than one would applaud a sneeze or a cough. Therefore, renown is not a good. Finally, tell us whether the good belongs to him who praises, or to him who is praised. If you say that the good belongs to him who is praised, you are on as foolish a quest as if you were to maintain that my neighbor's good health is my own. But to praise worthy men is an honorable action. Thus, the good is exclusively that of the man who does the praising, of the man who performs the action, and not of us who are being praised. And yet, this was the question under discussion. I shall now answer the separate objections hurriedly. The first question still is whether any good can consist of things that are distinct, and there are votes cast on both sides. Again, does renown need many votes? Renown can be satisfied with the decision of one good man. It is one good man who decides that we are good. Then the retort is, what? Would you define reputation as the esteem of one individual and ill repute as the rancorous chatter of one man? Glory, too, we take to be more widespread, for it demands the agreement of many men. But the position of the many is different from that of the one. And why? Because if the good man thinks well of me, it practically amounts to my being thought well of by all good men, for they will all think